They're just two parents who happen to be dads. One called Harley, the other one is Wads. It's not really Wads, it's Wade! But Wade doesn't rhyme with dads. It's shitting with the door open.
We have nothing to do. Hey, welcome. Welcome to Shitting with the Door Open. We're back. We're back. What anticipation, man, there has been in the world. Where are they? What are they doing? Well, we're here and we've done fuck all. So...
Yeah. Oh, the tens of message I've received asking us to come back.
Oh, and also, we're both tethering off our phones to do this. Wade's face is pixelated for me. Mine is pixelated for him. It's great. Oh, yeah, we're working with the best.
That's because I've got my penis out. It's like censoring it. That's what it's doing.
I thought that was your head, not your penis. Wow.
No, I'm very big. It's massive.
Mate, I didn't know your penis had eyebrows.
Oh, yeah, no. I draw a little face on it. It's very expressive.
Your penis looks shocked.
I give it a little wig on top. Put some sticks in me. It's like a potato head. And like those little potato head men. I'm constantly putting like little ears and eyes on. Little googly eyes on it. Imagine if you put googly eyes on your penis.
Oh, God. Oh, it's definitely been done. We're not the first to imagine it, and there's definitely people who've done it.
Oh, man, it's been a while.
Yes, it has.
It's been a while.
And we've both done a hell of a lot of travelling and a hell of a lot of family time. It's been quite a... I mean, I've been busy. I've been working, travelling, but I've also been family travelling and, you know, getting through the... I don't want to say getting through like it's been a chore, but, you know, getting through the Christmas, New Year's period and that was great. And you've been from one side of the country to the other and during a house renovation and sort of you've been homeless for, you know, 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, so we're still... Not in our house. We're in a place in Moonee Ponds at the moment. And I think Moonee Ponds, like, I don't know if you're from Melbourne, like, I didn't really think about Moonee Ponds too much, but it is a slept-on little suburb. That little Puckle Street precinct fucking rules. Yeah. It's so great. It's a really good vibe around here. But we spent, like, 5 weeks in Perth with Claire's family, and it was super nice. It was lovely. Especially the first 3 weeks, I was just like, fuck, this is amazing, I'm relaxed. And there was 1 week when my laptop broke, so I couldn't do any work.
Brilliant.
So I was just like, all I could do was just enjoy this part of my life. And how often these days do you get a whole week and a half? I had like 10 days where I couldn't do any writing because of my laptop. I was in like Perth, so the internet sucked. Like I was in just this kind of like, all I've got to do is just hang out with the girls. Like, that was it.
Right.
There was no other responsibilities for me. Like, Claire had some stuff going on. And I just kind of, like, felt a bit anxious about it the first few days. And then I just fucking leant into it. I was just like, oh, I've got to enjoy this. Because this will never happen again.
Yeah.
You know, like, this will never happen again. And it was just amazing. So that was great. The first 3 weeks were amazing. Then we came back to Melbourne for, like, 5 nights, just Claire and I. For some stuff. And then when we went back for the last 2 weeks, I was like, I'm ready to wrap this up.
Yeah,
I'm ready to get back to Melbourne.
You'd pushed
it too far.
It
was still a nice time, but the magic had left. Yeah, we'd pushed it too far. You know, it's like going out to like a night. You go out for the night. It gets to 1 o'clock. You think, man, I've had like the best time. I should go home. And then on the way home, you see another bar. You're like, I'm just going to pop in there for a few hours. And then the magic's gone.
Nah,
You've ruined it.
And then you're paying for that for the next 4 days. It was that last bar. It was the last 2 hours. You just went, oh, what have I done?
You wake up every morning, the anxiety's fucking hitting. Fuck, I woke up this morning and the anxiety was just pumping through me. Like, I just couldn't really settle. And I was just, I kind of like at one stage stood with my head against the wall and my hands against the wall and just kind of leant there just going, what is happening? What is happening? What is happening? What is happening? Like, I had to kind of like really kind of work through it. And like, Claire looks, she's like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm not okay.
I love it. Those moments, fun. I know those moments so well where you're just like, oh boy, it's all coming in on me. Oh, and you're literally holding yourself to the earth lest you float off it. Like, that is, that feeling is so intense. I heard something, yes, actually, and this is really simple. And it, even when I heard it, I'm like, yeah, of course. And it's, I've got it in my head now, and I'm so grateful that I've got it. I heard it on an interview on ABC Radio National with a sports psychologist. And he just made this statement that depression is thoughts about the past and anxiety are thoughts about the future. And you can reprogram both of those thoughts. And I just went, ah. Oh.
So you get depression from the future and anxiety from the past.
Great. Now I'm anxious about what I did and I'm depressed about what I've got to do.
I've turned the dials too far. You're just kind of like...
But, you know, and I don't want to simplify anyone's depression or anxiety, but for me, that was quite a revelation to go... And also, it is not as simple as that, even for myself. But I've had several moments since hearing it where I've just had that playing in my head and I've just gone... And I've been feeling quite anxious. And I've gone, well, these are just thoughts about the future and you can't control it. And we write our own future. So we say what it is going to be anyway. We don't know what it's going to be. But sometimes you're just going to go out, right? And you just, you play that scenario out in your head. Well, I'm going to, you know, get on the train to go see Wade and have a drink. And that day really goes very well because you're excited about doing that. And yeah, then often when you're anxious about something, you're playing out a scenario that hasn't been written yet, and all of a sudden some confronting things happen and anxious things happen. And the interviewer said, so are you talking about manifesting? And the guy was like, well, I suppose in a way, yeah, this is, you know, you hear it a lot, manifesting or power of positivity. He goes, and it is sometimes just as simple as that. And so when I've been feeling anxious, I'm just going, well, I'm going to rewrite this story. I'm just going to go with something different. And just, you know, in the simplest times of that, it's been really helpful for me.
Yeah, that's solid advice. Because I find I do get anxious about stuff in the future. But I also get like, I don't even know if it's anxiety. You know that thing where you think like, oh, I remember what I said when I was like 22 at a party to that person. And that will just fucking hang over me and hang over me and hang over me. So I get that a lot, but I do get super anxious. And I think today's problem was like last week was the first week back at school. And we'd been in this place here that we're in the Mooney Ponds for like a week. And so it was all kind of like still that transition phase of like coming back from Perth and everything's kind of getting settled. And then today I woke up and like, oh no, this is the rest of your life. You know what I mean? Like your life has got to keep going. You've got to fucking,
you've
got to
keep going.
Sometimes I remember that I still have like, that I've got like 60 years to go. And I'm like, oh, fuck, what am I going to
do? You reckon
too long?
You've got 60 years? Fucking hell, mate. What's been going on? Have you been...
I reckon with the way medical science is improving, I reckon I'll get another 60
mate,
years.
Mate, medical science would need to improve a lot for me to get another 60 years. I can tell you, they're going to have to grow a lot of organs on the back of rats for me to be okay.
It'd be great if there was a game show where they grew like organs on the back of pigs, but then you had to catch the pig to get the organ. It'd be like this fucking this super dystopian, just horrific. This horrific vision of these people who are like, oh, I need like a lung or I can't like live. But there's like five people who need like lungs. And they're all like trying to catch like the lung of this poor pig. That everybody's clapping in the audience. Oh, I can see it happening.
That is a good TV show. Next up, Harley Breen needs a liver. And here comes Porky.
It's horrific.
And just for an added, like an added benefit,
like the pig is oiled up.
So you've got to catch the pig and you've got to hold on to it.
Without damaging the liver. Like there's no do-overs.
Oh, man. Yeah, but I hear you, man, because it's like, you know, I even look at that in terms of my job is such a, you know, after every gig, that's done. And now I've got to get the next one. And I have to get the next one, not because of my passion or my drive. I have to get the next one to feed my family. And so there's just no moment after, like at the moment, I'm on one of my favorite gigs that I've ever done in my career. I've done it multiple times, which is I'm the support act for a massive act in the UK, Russell Howard. He's become a great mate of mine. And I just did a few dates in New Zealand because his local support act wasn't available. And then I'm doing all of Australia. And I should just be in the moment and enjoying it. But I'm already just looking at my diary and the end date and go, well, and calculating the money and going, well, that's going to pay those bills for that short amount of time. And then I have to get the next thing and then the next thing and then the next thing. And I just, there doesn't, it, that creates a phenomenal amount of anxiety because I'm like, I've got to do that for at least another 20 to 30 years before I can possibly even retire. And that's if they keep the pension intact in this country. And the way we're going, I don't reckon there's going to be much money for a pension for Generation X. So you're like, so I'm, you know, I've got 20 or 30 years of earning to bank enough super to survive on.
Man, you saw that thing, because I saw you shared it the other day as well, like how the Australian government makes more money from HEX debt than they do from the petroleum resources.
So what's happening in this country was literally...
Like, I knew they weren't making much money from that tax.
Yeah, and what's literally happening, not even... this isn't a speculation or some sort of lefty rant. University students are propping up the energy sector. And when we say energy sector, we mean fossil fuels of oil and gas and coal. They're getting money from the government to prop them up, this multi-billion-dollar company, and yet university students are going and paying exorbitant prices for university degrees and being lumped with debt for, you know, possibly the first 20 years of their employment. What the fuck happened?
I sent it to my sister and she said, and it's something like out-of-pocket medical expenses have gone up like by 300% in the last 5 years.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is just, I knew those prices had risen, but I didn't realize they'd risen that much. It's just out of control. So when you say, like, I don't know if we'll have the pension in this country, that's not fucking left-wing dystopian talk. That is a realistic fucking view of how this government, this country approaches...
It's citizens.
It's citizens.
It's how it approaches its citizens. And I think the comparison in that thing that I put up, it was by the head of the Australia Council. He was doing a national press club. And he was comparing it to Norway, who have a phenomenal amount of oil. But it goes into a sovereign fund for the people of Norway. That's what they've chosen to do. Now, I would like to see a world where we're winding back on mining fossil fuels. But if we're going to do it, could we, the people, benefit from the profits coming out of the ground that you're destroying? Could we at least benefit in some way? But we're not. It's actually hurting us. Our taxes are going up to keep propping up these bastards that aren't paying any tax. I don't care what side of fucking politics you're on. No one should be into that unless they're a billionaire, because that makes sense for a billionaire. It doesn't make sense for everybody else on any side of politics.
Man, I feel like we're being treated like customers, not citizens. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Correct.
Always great to get a bit of a rant in, isn't it?
Isn't it good?
It doesn't take long on this podcast for our left wing to really like to shine through.
And you know, let me go on another little rant. The problem with the left wing is that they eat themselves. Would you fucking all pull your heads in and just attempt some sort of unification and support?
I saw a great thing the other day, a great quote, and it was like, "Online is a great place to visit, but not to live." And I'm like, yeah, that could not be truer. People that spend the entire lives online, totally. All their communication is online. So they kind of like lose perspective of what's happening in like the real world a little bit. And I'm like, because there are some serious yes. issues happening right now. Some fucking, and overseas, but also yes. in this country, in New Zealand, like in every country. But I think we're all well aware of what's happening sure. in the world.
I get what you're saying. I would say this, though, and I've probably said it before on this podcast. I've certainly said it to you, that pain is relative to your own experience. Yeah. So the stresses in my life are no less because of the intensity of what's happening in other people's lives around yeah. the world. Those things are big, but my things are also big for my world.
Yeah.
And it does help sometimes to look at the struggles of others and gain a bit of perspective. But it also doesn't then solve my problems. My problems still need solving.
Yeah, yeah.
I still have my challenges, and I've got to find a way through. So I think, to your point, some things are probably best kept for your support network. Your small group of family and friends are there for those things. And other things are massive, and they need global action.
Yeah.
And that it doesn't make either one less or more important than the other. They're all things that need to be solved. It's just who solves them and how do we solve those problems?
Man, that's such a great way to put it. Whenever we have these chats, I always feel, and even when I listen back when I'm editing, I'm always like, fuck, I sound like a real dum-dum here. But Harley, you always sound so articulate. How does this happen? I've talked to you in person. This isn't you.
I don't know, mate.
I've hung out with you heaps of times.
My problem is I'll say something because you just sparked an idea and a thought in my brain, and I'll say it and then I'll fucking forget it. I'll have no idea. I'll be in the middle of some anxiety, having some sort of panic attack, going, the world's the worst.
And half the time I'm saying stuff, I haven't thought about what I'm going to say. This is just a new thought that's popped into my head that I'm experimenting with.
No.
I'm trialing it out. I say it out loud. I'm like, oh, yeah, that sounds all right. And then you'll say something like, no, I was wrong there. No, I did fuck that. Very quickly. Oh, it's fun
and
to have a podcast.
We get our dicks out and everything's better. God.
Oh man.
What was I going to talk about? Oh, I'm going here. Just a change of tack. I'm something exciting is happening for me today. The kids are back at school as well as your kids, and it's bloody hot up here. And it's my second child, the great Walter Aubrey's birthday coming up, and a bit of guilt for me as a parent. I am yet again going to be away on his actual day. It's just the nature of February is when things finally start to fire up for my industry, and I've just got to go to work, and I hate that I'm missing it again. So I've put in place a little action plan. We're putting on a birthday party the weekend before I go for him, and maybe about a week before his actual birthday. But today, I'm picking him up from school in my old vintage Land Cruiser, and we're driving out to the farm, just Walter and I, to have a two-day camping Great. Trip up the back of the farmhouse, because that was what he wanted to do. And I'm really excited about it. We're going to take the dog. We're going to go up onto the top of the mountain.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's going to be great having that sort of one-on-one time with your children.
Yeah, getting that one-on-one with them, they fucking love it. They love it. When you can yes. kind of just be like, all right, I'm yep. just going to spend time with you for a few hours and time with you for a few hours. They just fucking, they're like, they're different kids. They really are.
Yeah.
And so absolutely. What you're doing is the next level. Have you done this before with Walt? Like gone for like a trip away with just him?
No, this is the first time. But what was great was I've done it several different occasions with Leonard. And I'd say Leonard, out of all of my kids, is still the one that struggles the most with me being away. He's still he's like, oh, why are you always going away? But he really got this. He didn't ask to come. He didn't ask why he couldn't come, because he understands that that's, you know, this is what I do, and I will do it with Marigold, and I'll do it with Quill.
Yeah.
So that was great. They were like, oh, I get this, and Will Walter knows this because he's seen me do it with Leonard, and now you know he's having his turn. And I think it was why it was even his request. He's like, that's what I want to do. I want to do that thing. I'm like, okay, man, we're doing it. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. Some time out the farm, walk around, see some animals.
Fuck yeah.
Hold a piglet, you know.
And I reckon that kids are like better behaved when they're one-on-one. They really are. Even when there's absolutely like two parents to like one kid, when it's just you and one child, I've very rarely have any problems at all. But as soon as you throw a third person into any mix, I guess, it becomes a bit fucking messy. So
yes,
I'm pumped for you.
Yeah.
Super exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be great. I mean, it's like it's pretty hectic times because I've, you know, only just been away on one tour. This is a little gap in between and then off onto another tour. But it's that thing that, and there's actually plenty of work for me to do here at home. But this is more important. That's, you know, so I'm making time for it because I really value it. And these will be the things, this will be a core memory for Walter and for me.
Yeah.
So I'd rather put the effort and time into this.
I think we talked about this before, but I remember like Rosie said to me once, he said, he's like, there are things that are urgent and there are things that are important. And there will always be urgent things. There will always be bills to pay and emails to answer and work and fucking life.
Yeah.
That will always be there. So, but what's important can be kind of a bit more fleeting. And so you really have to prioritize what's important over what's urgent. I'm paraphrasing a bit there, you know, like that's the general gist of it. So I've really started to take that on board. That kind of like, well, the girls are important. Like my family is important. Like that's the important stuff.
Yeah.
Everything else can be urgent, but it's not... Unless it's like life or death, it can be put off, it can wait, it can go to another time. But what's important comes first, and then what's urgent comes second.
Yeah. And also, you know, a bill, I've never had a bill that was important. Not one bill. I've had urgent bills. I've got heaps of them right now.
Yeah.
I'm anxiety rising. But I don't.
We should call this podcast Anxiety
never
Rising.
Never have they been important. Right. We're changing it. Welcome to Anxiety Rising. Yeah, man. And you know what always helps with anxiety rising is doing important things. That's what we've talked about it, that moment we had when you were really struggling that day, and I was like, when was the last time you just walked out in nature? It happened to me the other day. It was just before I was opening up for Russell. It's a huge show. No one knows that I'm going to be there. They are pumped to see Russell. I'm starting to panic out the back because I've got to go out. All I've got to do is 20 minutes, but it's in front of a group of people that didn't even know I was going to be there, and I'm in the way of them seeing the guy that they love so much. And that all playing out in my head. All of a sudden, every joke I've ever written has just disappeared from my mind. And so I just took my shoes off and walked around the backstage of the theatre with my feet on the ground. I mean, it would have been better if I could have gotten out on the soil or the grass or the sand or whatever. But it really centred me. And I mean, I still proceeded to almost have a panic attack on stage, but whatever. Had a great gig. People laughed.
Anxiety rising. Kills me.
I should just call my show. By the way, to all you wonderful shitting with the door open listeners, I am putting on a little somewhat of a almost national tour in May, and I should just call that show Anxiety Rising. I don't know if I'd sell many tickets.
So good. What have I been up to? Oh, yeah, that's right. I am nearly at the point of releasing this like horror podcast that I wrote and made. I'm so close. So it'll come out either later this month or early next month. I'm just doing some of like that back end stuff that's very boring but needs to be done.
But what about the podcast?
I left myself so wide open.
Wide open in the back end.
You just walk straight in. So I put like
I'm excited for you, mate, because you've put a lot of effort into that. Not only you know, from the writing to the recording of it to the editing of it, and I'm really proud of you already.
Oh, thanks,
and
man.
Everyone out there, you make sure you get that and get amongst it, unless you don't like horror, and then maybe not.
But just download it. Give it 5 stars.
Just download it.
Subscribe, yes. Download, give it 5 stars. Don't
help
listen.
The algorithm.
Come on, just give me do me a solid. But like I put like the latest the near final mix is like I put like some teasers on Patreon. Well, I put all the apps on Patreon so like Patreons could have a listen, and they were so lovely with the feedback. Got some really nice messages about it. So
that's great.
Yeah, and I've had some really good messages from friends. So it's just getting its final tweaks at the moment, and they're just little, tiny little. Oh, can you remove this one line? Can you make this one sound a bit different? It's just there's 4 little tweaks that need to happen, and then it'll be ready, and then get the trailer out, then release. So
great, Mark.
Yeah, a bit nerve wracking, but also it's exciting. Awesome. Because at the end of and the then, day, like it's...
And then you get a TV deal.
That's how it works.
That's how it works.
That's how it works. You put out a podcast, you get a TV deal. At the end of the day, it was a fun thing to do. And it's just, because it's just a podcast, I do feel a little bit nervous. But I'm like, oh yeah, you've done it. You've made it. You've produced it. You've done this thing that you set out to do. What's next? What's the next project? So I think there was a bit of anxiety about that today as well. I was like, oh, what is the next project? I've got a couple of things in mind, which will be exciting. But anyway.
Yeah.
It's good.
Well, and that's the challenge of being creative and pursuing a career in anything creative is it's quite hard to just be in the moment. It's like what I should be doing at the moment is just enjoying being on tour with Russell Howard, because it's, you know, it's the only opportunity I get to play in front of the size audiences that I'm doing. So just enjoy it. And to the best part, by the way, I'm really working on being present in this moment and enjoy it, because I probably won't do it again for 3 years. So just enjoy it. But there is that moment, like you're at that point of hitting the green light on this thing you've been working on for ages, and you can't even just enjoy that moment because you're like, okay, so what's next?
Yeah,
and that's the challenge.
Yeah, it's a very strange world to live in. Very strange. Anyway, it'll be good. What have you been cooking?
What have I been cooking? Well, I've just been away. You tell me what you've been cooking, and I'll see if I can remember, because I have had some fun times.
Man, made the other day. Now, this sounds kind of boring, but it was fucking delicious. This bean soup. And it was just fucking incredible. I found like this recipe online. And the trick is kind of like you cook the onions until they're nearly caramelized. You know what I mean? Not quite caramelized, but they're nearly caramelized. So you saute these onions, then add some garlic.
Yeah.
And then when you put in like the tomato, it said passata, but I just put in like some quality tin tomatoes. You cook them right down. Not just a cook off for a couple of minutes, cook it off for like quite a while until it's almost like turns into like a paste, so that flavor really just fucking pops out. And then just add some I added some cannelloni beans and some chicken stock. And a few herbs and spices and stuff, but not many. Whizzed it up until it was kind of smooth. And it was fucking incredible. For bean soup, I was like, I don't know about that. And it was just fucking amazing. And had it with like a couple of grilled cheese sandwiches. Delicious.
Oh, and you whizzed it up at the end.
Which was with the emulsifier, with that whizzy stick thing. So just to make it kind of like...
Oh, great.
Yeah. So it gets that kind of like smooth, kind of velvety texture almost. Yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, I made up a thing the other day that was really, really similar to what you just described. I did a red onion and garlic, I cooked the onions down like you just said, and then I put in cumin, coriander, and oregano.
Delicious.
And cooked that so that I sort of toasted those herbs. Then put in a bit of garlic, put in chicken stock, put in a can of tomatoes, put in butter beans and cannelloni beans, and then simmered that for about an hour and just cooked some rice and had some corn chips. And the kids just demolished it. I was like, right, that's a staple now.
Great. Yeah, you just made like delicious homemade baked beans, because that sounds like you almost made like some homemade beans.
Yeah.
Are delicious. Delicious.
Yeah. I wanna look. That's the other thing. That was the other sweetener I put in, was some leftover speck Spec is kind of like bacon. I don't know what the difference is. If anybody knows, I could probably just ask my brother who produces these products. But there's a sweetness to Spec than better than bacon, and I put that through the beans as well. Oh tickety boo!
Come on, I want to start looking into making my own like ketchup and stuff like that. You know, like making those kind of like staples, like tomato sauce.
Oh yes.
So I reckon like
I just had a conversation with a bloke over in New Zealand. He makes all his own sauces, and he got me all inspired because as we were talking about it, I was like, oh, my best mate who I do this podcast with, and talked him through my pulled pork recipe.
Yeah.
And that you'd made that pulled turkey tacos for Christmas, and you made your own barbecue sauce, and you gave me a big tub of it, and it was absolutely next level to a store-bought barbecue sauce. And I buy fancy barbecue sauce as well.
Yeah, I think like when you make your own stuff, even when you make your own like curry paste, unless you're going to like a restaurant, like anything that you make yourself, if you follow like a good recipe, and like you follow a recipe until you kind of know what you're doing, and then you kind of fuck around with it, know the rules, then break the rules, I guess is, you know, then it's always going to be better than something bought from the store. It just is. How can it not be if it's made fresh right there? You know?
Yeah, and I'll say 2 points on this. Don't ever feel shamed if you don't have the time or the skills and ability to make that sort of stuff. Store-bought stuff is absolutely fine if you just want to get started. And secondly, just a real helpful, friendly reminder that if you're struggling with cost of living and those horrid big two supermarkets, and to be honest with you, all of them, price gouging the fuck out of us all, find a farmer that's nearby. Anywhere you live in this country, there will be a farmer that lives not too far away from you that you can buy the produce direct from. I guarantee you, anywhere in this country of Australia, if you're listening, that you will be able to do some research and find some kind of produce that you can buy direct from a farmer. You'll get better stuff, you'll help the farmer, it's probably cheaper for you, and it's definitely better for you.
Man, I could not agree more, like, on both those counts. You know, like, there's no... You, like, just get whatever you need to get through life. If like that's what you need to do, like, you need to... You don't have the time to make a curry paste. Yep. Who fucking does? Like, I... Well, I do. But,
yes.
But, you know, like, that's... I'm well aware that I'm in a very small and fortunate minority that has that kind of time. But what gives me the shits about the supermarkets the most is how they will reduce their house brand stuff. What is that?
Are you still recording?
No, we stopped recording ages ago.
Great, I'm going to shower. I wasn't.
No, we're absolutely recording.
Okay, bye.
What are you doing?
Leave that in.
What's happening? So good. Is that they will put their house brand like corn or house brand beans, whatever it is, house brand serviettes, whatever it is, will be so much cheaper than like the next lowest price item.
Yeah.
And so they are forcing people to buy these products. They're just pushing you into them.
Which, and I've been in a privileged position for a lot of my life where I haven't had to buy the house brand stuff, and I deliberately try and buy stuff that is local or you know Australian made or whatever it is, and then you get to a point where you know your things are getting tight, and then you look at that and you make a decision. You're like, well, I just have to buy that. I can't afford. It, you know, and it's very easy for people to say boycott the two big supermarkets, but for a lot of people that just isn't possible. Both, like, what else is nearby? Where are their finances at? But I think there's little things that we can do to not only help us but help local producers, and hopefully screw over those two big guys a little bit so they change their behaviour.
I couldn't agree more, because like it's so convenient time wise. And like, you know, like sometimes price-wise, you go like, I don't have time to go to like three different like shops to get like the three different things I need. I've got to get everything I need in one place. The supermarket is very convenient. They're kind of like everywhere. Yes. But it is better for the planet and everybody in the long run, I guess, to go to like the farmer or the farmer's market even, or, you know, because farmer's markets can be expensive, but also the produce can be pretty, not too bad. I don't think. Definitely comparable to the fucking
Yeah, absolutely.
To the supermarkets, and it's always way better. But it's time. It's time. You're like, well, yeah. I need, you know, I need washing powder and I need some fruit. I can't have time to go to fucking two different places for those things. I've just got to go now and get this thing now. You know, it's fucked. Modern living is fucked. There is no easy way to do it.
We used to have time and we used to do that. We used to go to separate shops for that. And what we would do to go to those separate shops was to walk inside a building, buy a thing, walk back out into the world, walk past people and society and our friends and family, say good day, walk into the next shop and buy the next thing. And that was in that little village sort of, or the farmer's market idea. And now we're sort of pushed inside a huge big building with no windows and fluorescent lights on. So time is distorted. You can't figure out how to get out. The aisles are long. The shelves are high for a reason. It's to attract you to things that they want you to buy. Like, it's such a manipulation. And then we get trained into that's convenient and that's how our life should be. And so to break out of that, it's a big challenge. You're like, well, like you just said, I need fucking laundry detergent and fruit. And this place has got everything in it.
Yeah. Yeah, we really are kind of like pushed into these things. But I also don't know how do we change this mold? Because it's not just about the supermarkets. It's just about the way we're all like living our life and how it really is. Like, they call it the rat race. It really does feel like a fucking rat race.
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely does. And look, the answer is to blow up capitalism. But, you know, we don't have time to get into that fucking rant again.
what a great time.
What a good time. We love that you listen. We love that you care about our silly little rants. And more importantly, I love talking to you, mate. I've missed you.
I've missed you, man. I really, it's been a good one. I needed this. Probably needed this a few weeks ago. But, you know, life just gets busy.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. It really helps us out. Like, this sounds a bit fucking, always feels weird saying. But if you give it like a review and a share, that really kind of fucking, it does help the podcast a bit. Yeah. So, you know, I guess that's it. I've got nothing else to say.
We've nailed it. We've, as always, another 5-star outing from us.
What a dismount. Hey, you guys.
Remember that time your wife walked in and thought you'd finished and you hadn't? That was the best part.
That was probably should have shut it down then, to be honest. She's probably like, I reckon. This is it goes back to what we were just talking about. We should have finished the party at 1, but instead we went to another bar and things.
Yeah.
Things went downhill.
Yeah. I mean, when your wife, who's in the house with you, thinks that you probably should have stopped recording fucking 10 minutes ago, we should probably take that lead.
Dads.